Welcome to Piedmont Arts. I'm Rachel Stewart. The summer music festival season in our area is in full swing. An Appalachian summer festival in Boone is back with a full lineup of music, dance, art, and film. And the new Eastern Festival of Music is bringing summer music back to Greensboro. We'll talk with representatives of both festivals this week and find out more about what they're offering. And later on, Phil Vavra will give you some ideas of things to do with fanfare. Last fall, we told you about the collapse of the Eastern Music Festival in Greensboro. Members of the Musicians Union, the EMF Board, and the festival's leadership could not come to agreement on terms for a new contract. But the summer festival held at Guilford College has returned under new leadership and a new name. Joy Hodges is a member of the faculty, a horn player, and one of the union representatives. She told my colleague Dan Dreyer how the newly launched Eastern Festival of Music has sprung into life and a new season.
We had some very enthusiastic donors and supporters of the festival step in and raise money and just band together to preserve the legacy of Eastern Music Festival. And we reformed in the same structure, but with new management, a new board, and great support as the Eastern Festival of Music. We still have our music director, Jerry Schwartz, which we're really excited about. And then we know the community is really excited about, and our same faculty, and we're back at Guilford College. Makes it sound like it was really easy what I'm saying, but I know it was a lot of work, and we owe so much of that to Barbara Morgan Stern and the new board and our dedicated orchestra committee, of course. So yeah, we're excited. We're coming back.
Tell us more about Barbara's influence and why she was such a critical player in where things stand now.
Barbara Morgan Stern is the former wife of Shelley Morgan Stern, who was the founder of Eastern Music Festival. And Barbara has been an ardent supporter for many, many years. And she was crucial in us getting this new festival going. She really spearheaded. She and Jody Schwartz, actually Jerry Schwartz's wife, just went out and talked to people and raised a ton of money and did all the work to get this going. She talked to Guilford College, and she just pretty much single-handedly was running things from the beginning. Of course, we have a small staff now, and I'm sure we'll expand in the future. But she just made this happen. She believes exactly what we do. She shares the same values that the musicians do. And she wanted to see music stay alive in Greensboro. And she made it happen.
Tell me about the decision to name it the Eastern Festival of Music, coming out of the Eastern Music Festival. And were there any concerns raised about, is anybody going to get the name of the festival wrong?
Well, I know we're all going to slip up from time to time, as I have, because EFM and EMF are too close together.
Yeah,
and still, when I say, oh, I'm going to EFM this summer, I feel like I'm saying the wrong thing. I wasn't a part of the naming. I know we wanted to keep the name similar just because so many people for decades have known it as the Eastern Music Festival. So I know we wanted to keep it similar. We didn't want it to be totally different. I think it'll take some getting used to for everyone. And in fact, I know a lot of our colleagues throughout the country aren't quite sure if the name is right, and they're not sure it's the same thing. So I think we're also going to be working for at least another year or two to make sure that everyone knows that, like, no, this is the same faculty. This is the same level you're used to. This is going to be a great festival for the students. And this isn't something brand new, even though the name is brand new.
How does the festival guarantee future success financially and going forward?
We totally trust in our new board and our new management. They share the same beliefs that we do. They are totally invested in preserving our legacy and making this happen. And with the amount of work they've put in this past year, I know they're going to do more. And they've already done so much for fundraising and bringing people in. And we're just looking forward to seeing what they do. But we totally trust them.
It's not easy to run a festival of this size or any size. So what needs to be in place to create success?
Well, I think the thing that we know it's not easy to run, but it has been done, and it was done in Greensboro for a while, and it's been done in so many other festivals around the country, and other festivals have unionized and been successful. And so we know it can be done. I do think that having a board that is supportive of us and shares our values and the importance of music is just key to this, and is not just about the business side, but about the music and the musicians and what we contribute to the community in Greensboro.
For those who haven't been to concerts or don't have direct access to see how the festival unfolds, could you tell us a little bit more about the interactions between faculty like you and the students who are coming in? I mean, in other words, the easier, shorter question is, what is it that makes now Eastern Festival of Music unique?
I love to talk about this. So what makes the Eastern Festival of Music unique is that we have a large faculty in relationship to how many students we have. So for example, I teach French horn, and I usually have between 2 and 4 private French horn students at the festival. So we have really in-depth lessons. I can spend a lot of my time with these students and teach them in one-on-one lessons, but then go see them in performance and be a mentor to them. We will have, I'm going to speak from the horn, the French horn side. We will have about 12 to 14 horn students there with 4 faculty members. So it's great. There's so many of us there to be there for the students. So we teach private lessons. I will also, we coach chamber music, the students chamber music. Some of the faculty leads master classes and sectionals for the students. And then we attend their concerts. They give 2 orchestra concerts a week, and we go to support them and give them feedback. And then they come to our concerts. So the faculty, then we have our own orchestra rehearsals and our own concerts and our own chamber music, and they come to our concert. So we teach them throughout the week, and then they see us perform on the weekend. So we're there for them on Thursday and Friday nights. They're there for us on Saturday, and they get to learn from us. And not only that, but they often sit in with us in the orchestra. We always have students in the orchestra filling out when we do bigger pieces. So they will get to sit side by side with us and experience what we experience with Jerry and, you know, our guest artists, and kind of see, you know, what it's like to be the professional side of it. It's really great.
So tell us about the season. What can we look forward to in terms of the music?
So as usual, Maestro Schwartz has a great lineup of orchestral programs for us. One of the things I'm most excited about is playing Brahms Symphony No. 4, which is one of my favorites. So we will be doing that. And I'm also really excited to play Shostakovich's 5th Symphony, which I think we've done there before, but it's been many years. So that's going to be great. And we'll have our conductors showcase towards the end of the season.
How will you measure success in this new imagined festival?
You know, this isn't a measure of success or anything, but it is going to be interesting at the end of the festival when it's time to give feedback, which we always do, and when it's time to look forward. I think it'll be interesting to see how this season worked after a year off. I don't foresee any problems, and maybe that's me being naive, but I really don't. I think we're all so glad to get back. I know it's going to feel really special to make music in Greensboro again. I'm actually as excited this summer as I was the first summer I ever went. So I think it's going to be fun.
Joy Hodges is a faculty member, horn player, and union representative with the new Eastern Festival of Music in Greensboro. And she was talking to Dan Dreher. In just a few minutes, we'll be talking to someone about what's happening at an Appalachian Summer Festival this year. So stay tuned for that. Phil Vavra is up next with fanfare and some suggestions for things to do here in the middle of a very hot summer. Phil?
Thank you very much, Rachel. Well, we're in the dog days of summer now, and the phrase originates from the ancient Romans and Greeks, who believed the rising of Sirius, the dog star, added extra heat to the sun and created oppressive summer weather. In my house, it just means the dogs don't want to go outside. Luckily, there's plenty for you to see and do indoors over the next week. The Kane Center for the Arts presents the Kruger Brothers in concert, but it'll be at Lost Worlds Brewing in Cornelius on Friday, July 10th at 7:30. Established in Switzerland, the quartet creatively infuses classical sounds with traditional American folk music and Appalachian bluegrass. There's more to enjoy during this 90th summer season at Brevard Music Center. Joanne Folletta leads the Brevard Music Center Orchestra and cellist Camille Thomas in a program including Tchaikovsky's Variations on a Rococo Theme, Carl Nielsen Symphony No. 4, and two works by Joan Tower at Whittington Fole Auditorium on Friday, July 10th. The Buena Vista Orchestra will be there for an evening of traditional Cuban son, bolero, and Afro-Cuban rhythms on Saturday, July 11th. Conductor Joanne Folletta returns with the Brevard Sinfonia and violist Paul Neubauer to perform Ravel's Daphnis and Chloe Suite No. 2 and more on Sunday, July 12th at 3 p.m. Over at the Parker Concert Hall, you can catch the Shanghai Quartet on Monday, July 13th, and pianist Sir Stephen Huff on Tuesday, the 14th. The revamped Eastern Festival of Music continues at Guilford College's Dana Auditorium in Greensboro. The Young Artist Orchestra performs Gustav Mahler's Symphony No. 5 on Friday, July 10th. The Eastern Festival Orchestra takes on Benjamin Britten's Variations on a Theme by Purcell, Sergei Rachmaninoff's Paganini Variations, and the Symphony No. 4 by Johannes Brahms on Saturday the 11th. And there will be an evening of solo piano works featuring William Wolfram and others on Wednesday, July 15th. Appalachian State University's An Appalachian Summer Festival is bringing some fun shows to Boone over the next week. They include a cappella group Straight No Chasers Beach Bash at the Schaefer Center for the Performing Arts on Friday, July 10th. Houston-based quintet Wind Sync will be performing Prokofiev's Peter and the Wolf at the Rosen Concert Hall, Broyhill Music Center on Sunday, July 12th at 2 p.m., followed by a concert of classical chamber works, including Mozart's Serenade in C Minor at 7:30. And Complexions Contemporary Ballet, featuring the music of Lenny Kravitz, takes the stage at the Schaefer Center on Thursday, July 16th. A few theatrical productions to check out. Matthew's Playhouse is staging Hairspray, July 10th through 26th. Little Theater of Gastonia is presenting Beetlejuice Jr., July 11th and 12th. And Davidson Community Players are presenting Matt Merrill Productions' Don't Dress for Dinner at Davidson College's Duke Family Performance Hall, July 16th through 26th. The comedy is about a husband, a wife, a mistress, a best friend, and a very confused cook trying to navigate a menu of misunderstandings during a chaotic dinner party at a country house. And did you know the Scheele Museum of Natural History in Gastonia lets visitors in free of charge between 4 and 8 p.m. on the second Tuesday of each month? Planetarium shows are still $5 per person, but otherwise admission's free. No reservation needed. Just show up. You can find out more and see what other events and activities are on the horizon. Just check out my complete fanfare column at WDAV.org. And it's made possible in part by Bragg Financial. Rachel?
Thanks, Phil. An Appalachian Summer Festival happens this time every year in Boone. It's a mix of music, theater, dance, art, and film. Judlyn Gibson reports.
Imagine this.
The high country of Boone, it's always amazing. Every time I drive up, it becomes greener. The air becomes fresher. The roads become a little wider. There becomes less traffic. And you just watch the temperature go down and down and down. It's really just kind of a magical place in the summer.
That's from someone who is in Boone every day. She's Elizabeth Auer, Executive Director, Arts Engagement and Cultural Resources at Appalachian State. She's hoping her joy in the mountains will be yours too when you attend events at the Appalachian Summer Festival. She is particularly excited about the Charlotte Symphony Orchestra.
So excited to work with our partners down the road and have some of their friends come up to us and experience the Charlotte Symphony in the summertime up in the mountains. They've created a program specific for App Summer, which we really appreciate, with an opening piece by Smetana. Then they'll be doing the Suite from Appalachian Spring, which is wonderful. It's been a number of years since that piece has been performed with us, which is actually kind of the playoff of where an Appalachian Summer Festival name came off of. But just a wonderful, wonderful suite of eight pieces that all flow together. And then the second half of the performance, they're doing Dvorak Symphony No. 9, the New World Symphony, which is a French horn player. Great part. Great, great, great part. So we're really excited to have our friends coming up the road to perform with us, and they're excited to be with us as well. So we will welcome them with open arms on July 1st.
Auer says classical music fans have many other choices, too. Wind Sync, presenting Peter and the Wolf, the Mertz Trio, and the Kalidor String Quartet.
They've recorded all the Beethoven quartets, which is pretty amazing. They've been with App Summer before doing some of the Beethoven cycle. This time they'll be doing a mixed rep program. They'll have Haydn and also a piece by Wynton Marsalis, which is the selections from At the Octoroon Balls. So it's great to kind of mix that up and have a more recent composer with Wynton Marsalis.
And for classical and jazz fans?
Aaron Deal, he's dreamy. He's such an incredible musician. He is at home as much doing jazz as he is classical music. He is one of my favorite artists who just interprets pieces, just does these full orchestral versions, basically just on the piano. He will have one of those programs that really represents those 250 years, looking at what that is in classical music through a very different lens. So he's our last classical performance of the season on the 31st of July. He's absolutely phenomenal.
And then, of course, you're doing other things like theater.
The Other Mozart is this very wonderful, special little piece of theater that is the story of Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart's sister that was lost to history, basically. And she was equally, if not more, talented as both a pianist and a composer. The woman who wrote it is the same person who's performing, Sylvia Milo, which actually ties into one of our other artists that we have performing with the Mertz Trio, who will be telling the story of Clara Schumann. Clara Schumann is another one that her husband was the one who got all the accolades with this, but she was an incredible composer herself as well.
Then there's the International Film Festival, featuring the award-winning Egyptian film, Happy Birthday. It's about an 8-year-old girl who learns about the class system while working as a maid for a wealthy family. And in dance, the Complexions Contemporary Ballet Company.
Complexions was created by Dwight Roden and Desmond Richardson, who are both former dancers with Ailey, and one was the first Black principal dancer with American Ballet Theater. The first half of their program is a mixed rep program, and then the second half is to the music of Lenny Kravitz. This company is just absolutely stunning.
Ours says the Appalachian Summer Festival is acknowledging the nation's 250th birthday with several anniversaries of their own.
You know, what's great about this summer, as it's the 250th anniversary of our country, that's been a big focus, but we have music that represents all of those years within our time, even going back a little bit more. It's really trying to create something for everything, for everyone. Icons like Gladys Knight is still out there touring. So trying to make sure we cover that age range gamut across the chart, but then also having music, theater, dance, film, visual arts. We're celebrating the 40th anniversary of the Rosen Sculpture Walk this year, which, you know, that's over 400 sculptures that have been on campus over these years, making art accessible and for free to the public.
Elizabeth Auer, the Executive Director, Arts Engagement and Cultural Resources at Appalachian State. The Appalachian Summer Festival runs through July and ends with the Jayhawks on August 1st. For Piedmont Arts, I'm Judlyn Gibson.
Well, that's our show for this week. Thanks for listening. You can subscribe and get a new episode each week by going to wdav.org/podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and iHeart Podcast. For Piedmont Arts, I'm Rachel Stewart.